Many years ago, I had the schus and the connection of Agudas Yisrael to hear the late, unforgotten and unforgettable, tell the Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Meir Bloch, Zechat Tzadik Livrocha, point out that although the Malbim says that perhaps the truest Mishkan is the Mishkan that every Jewish man and woman builds in his own or her own heart, the Chadrei Levavoy, as he puts it, nevertheless, the term Migdosh, in terms of Migdosh Ma'at, is primarily applied to the home that is built by a husband and a wife. And so he said at one time, that if we're really misabel for the Churban Habayis, the Beis Hamikdash HaGobel in Yerushalayim, maybe we should start rebuilding the Mikdash Ma'at in our own communities. The bayis that each and every one of us builds within our own home. Approximately a decade and a half later, my own Rebbe Muvok, Hagoyin Hagodol Rav Yosheber Zatzal, Soloveitchik, expressed a similar thought in his inimitable way. If it is really true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah rests in a home that is dedicated to Gedusha between a husband and a wife, then how else can we learn to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash unless we first learn how to build our own homes? It was these two Gedolei Yisrael, Zecher Tzadikim, Goyim Livracha, that caused me to select the theme for tonight. At the close of Tisha B'Av for this last year, the Yerushalmi in Maseches Chagiga, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, and the Braisa reads as follows: Tanya, Lama Nivra Ha'olam Beis. Why was the world created with a beis? The Loi Ba'Aleph. Why wasn't it created with an Aleph? It may shah beis lashon bracha, the aleph lashon ariyah. Because beis is a lashon of bracha, bracha begins with a beis, and aleph is a lashon of ariyah, or curse, or begins with an aleph. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eineni boi le'oi soy be'aleph, shelo yengru eich yamoy ve'aylam shemidwa b'lushoy nariyah. I cannot build the world with an aleph. Lest they say, how can the world continue to survive that is based on arira, that which is a curse? L'harei ani b'harei say, the beis, the lashon bracha. I'm going to build it with a beis, which is the language of bracha, the halabai, shiyamai. Let's hope that it'll last. This particular brisa almost defines understanding. It's already the Pnei Maisa who points out, what does it mean that days is Lashon Bracha? The Pnei Maisa of Yerushalmi points out, there are many psukim, and there are many tevois, many whole verses and many words in the Kisra HaKodesh that begin with a days that are not really very pleasant. Think of Belial, the immoral person, think of the Gita treachery, think of who are the Amharics. And there are many words that begin with an aleph that are absolutely wonderful, including Hashem's own name, Elohim, including the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Emes, truth, and Ahava, love. So what is meant by it? The question goes even deeper and deeper than that. You all remember the famous Medrash, who hasn't heard it, we learned it when we're still basically in Cheder, that the Aleph's feelings were hurt, as it were, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to begin the Torah to start with the Beis and not with an Aleph, and as it were, the Aleph went sulking into a corner, humiliated and ashamed, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally gave an achama to the Aleph and said, I've got a consolation prize for you. The Aseres HaDibros are going to begin with an Aleph, Aleichi Hashem Elokecha. Again, the question is inescapable. If the Aleph really is no good, how can the Aseres HaDibros begin with the Aleph? And if the Beis is the only good letter, then why didn't the Aseres HaDibros begin with the Beis? And I once had this chus to hear from my Rebbe's Rebbe, also my Rebbe, my Nesadik Edushin, the Weltgoyen of Chaim Heller, the Nesadik Lebrot. And he interpreted the answer of the Tnei Moshe to give us the key to unlock the secret here. The Tnei Moshe answers on Yerushalm. The reason that Beis is Lashon Bracha is because Beis is Lashon Ribui. It's more than one. And that is the Haskalah of Bracha, that's the beginning of blessing. Whereas Aleph is no Ribui at all. It's exclusive. It's one and one alone. And that's the curse. Because the Chaim Heller, that's all. But the Bnei Moshe is teaching us, Pshat Yerushalmi is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. What he built into the world, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, is Bracha means when I care and I care and I reach out and I touch. If I'm only for myself, that's a curse. So the Torah had to begin with a Beis. The world had to begin with a Beis. Yaseres HaDibros. When it comes to a situation where the Mitzvah makes up the rules and regulations how we are to live, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely alone. He's exclusive. He does not share the stage with anyone else. He's Echad Meyachid V'Olamai. Aleichi Hashem Elokecha. But in the human world, Chesed Yibaneh, it's Beis. And perhaps that's how we can understand why Dafka in the Torah Ben Hayyim. If you look in the first simon, and I quote, Yizborach Shemay Shilakar Yizborachu Shuchafez Betayim Riyaisa, who really wants that which is good for his creatures. And he gives two reasons for marriage. And the first one is not procreation. But the first one is She'ein Oikayim La'adam Li'yos Lavadoy. It's not good for any person to be alone. And then he goes on and says, Be'oid Kavona Sabayre. And furthermore, the Kavona is Ritlois V'lirlois. And the Noise Kalim already discussed at length why we need two reasons, why one is first and the other one is second, among the Rishayim and the Achayim. We don't have to go into it. But I want to share with you another amazing insight, which I once heard, actually, from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. That's And the Musa Shmuz also that he gave the gathering of the British Israel. And he said, how could it be that suddenly HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not good for men to be alone. Was he alone before? Wasn't there a need for a woman right away? How could man have procreated himself? So I'm sure that all of you know, from the very beginning, Adam HaRishon was not just a male. Then the world could not have survived. He was what is known in English, a hermaphrodite, Zachor Nekeva Abraham. He was male and female together. And I want to read to you, a passage of the Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal was master. In order to make it easy for everyone to understand, I'll read the Targum Lashon Kodesh of the Zohar. And it says like this, V'chi levadoi hoyo, v'harei kostuv, lo'i tayin hayo sa'adam levadoi, el ha'ashu, v'chan oma, lo'i tayin bo'ez nevada. And he says, V'fi shahoysov v'tzidoi, the female part of Adam HaRishon was at his side. The Hoyo the Echad Ne'ochoya. She was like behind him, like a sidekick, like a, so to speak, an appendage. The Oz Hoyo Ha'adam Levadai. And that's not real companionship. That means that that creature felt himself self-sufficient. And that's right point. That's not good. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He put Adam HaRishon to sleep. And in that Kagema, he took that part of the first hermaphrodite, which was the feminine part, and he created it as a separate co-equal female partner. And as the Zohar puts it, the Oz, Esel or Eza Kenegzai, Mahu Kenegzai, Keneged Panov. He now placed him on a level of equality. These Chaber Zeh Bozeh, Panim Vapanim. Tasting on a level of co-equality. And that is what is meant by Eza Kenegdoi. If Vashimshu Sol here could point it out, same thought. Kenegdoi in a circle, the equidistant from the center of the circle. And that became, says the Zohar, the Vracha. And it was only when the female became the co-equal, independent partner of the man to build Shina, the Tachtonim, only then Shimon Adam did they both become human. And that's why the Sephardi says, Al Kain Yazor Ish as Obi Beth Imai, the Dabak the Ishkai. So the Sephardi says, and Gibum Elohat the Joining Bilvat. Now we know all the Tzukim, Yim Sholbo, and we know Shema V'Kayla. There's a separate Shmuz. And if you, those of you who've heard the various Machlokes discussed, each one refers to a different multifaceted thing. But the basic point is, any Adam who surely below Isha is below Taiwan is not even Koroi Adam. There is no other way of explaining it. Because independence breeds selfishness. And selfishness breeds arrogance. And that's the opposite of the truly religious person. Now, I want to share something else with you. Therefore, it's no wonder that we have to love our wives. But how do we love our wives? And how much do we have to love our wives? I want to bring to your attention, if I may, a parish HaMishnayis of the Rambam. And I'm amazed that not more people discuss it. because it is such an important Perush HaMishnayos of the Rambam, that I think it's almost, it packs the wallop of a mega TNT. The Gemara says, and I quote, the very beginning of the second paragraph of Kiddushin, Ha'ish B'Kaddish, Omar Rav, Oso lo Odom, Shiyekaddish, Es Ha'isha, Ach Yireno. A person may not marry a woman until he's seen her first. Why? Because if he gives her Kiddushin and he's not seen her first, Chas V'Shalom Shema Yire V'Dover, he might see in her something, a dovah maguna, something which he doesn't like. This is gane ve'enov. It'll be distasteful in his eyes. And then, of course, he would dislike her. And that, of course, is also shenema ve'ahavta le'reacha kamuch. Now, you will look in every rishon and every achron on all this in this subject. And whoever discusses it, and what you will usually find is this. But a man cannot marry a woman unless he first knows her, because if he were to get married to her without really knowing her, and then he were to find something that displeases him, and he would not like her, he would dislike her, then he is over, and nothing the kind, that's not proper. I wrote it down over here. The lust of the Rambam is different. Amazing. I want to read it to you. The Rambam writes as follows. And here's what the Rambam says. Lefi she'onu chayshishim. We're afraid in such a case, if a man marries a woman whom he hasn't seen first, he doesn't know her. Shema lo tishar be'eno. Maybe she won't appear quite right in his eyes. And then what are we afraid of? Are we afraid of, in this particular case, that he'll hate her? No. Are we afraid that he will be displeased with her? No. Are we afraid that he'll divorce her? No. What does the Rambam write? We're afraid the Yamayt Ima V'Loye Haveno. We're afraid he might stay married to her and not really love her. The Zeh Asur, and this is an Isha the Oraisa, because it says the Ahatza L'Reyach Al-Kamoha. Here, my friends, you have it. The prerequisite of the Mikdash Ma'at, which you and I and every Jewish husband and wife have to build, is not a husband and a wife where there is no fighting, where they get along, where they have a decent relationship. No! It has to be a yachas where there is a hava. Abba, achva, shalom, the reyus are not just words. They're concepts to be lived and concretized. That's the only way to build the Mikdash. Lavarek is Amo Yisroel the Ahava. It's not just a word. It's the very foundation of bracha. That's why we say we may have to love our wives. We may have to honor our wives more than ourselves, but we have to love her as much as ourselves. And for a long time, I want to share with you some practical niceties. Because, you know, many Rabbonim, many Mechanchim, many Rosh Yeshivas, we all have the tendency to come and express nice-sounding ideas, eloquently expressed thoughts, inspirational, and we go home and we're hardly affected, because practically speaking, we go home with almost nothing. So let's concretize. Halacha l'maaseh, what does it mean? And my friends, for a long time, I couldn't really understand. What does the Torah mean, v'ahavta l'reyacha kamecha, and the Gemara applies it primarily to a wife? Why like yourself? So, of course, all kinds of shopping, you can't love someone else until you love yourself, and all that business. But still, I was never satisfied. Till one day, it dawned on me, and I want to share with you what I came to. And I really think that it might very well be true. My Rabbi Isai, I'm not speaking to you now, I'm speaking to myself. Myself, I can get Muslim. No matter how long we live, we husbands still have a long way to learn to become better husbands. Pick a person like myself. Do I sometimes make mistakes? Of course. Do I sometimes make terrible mistakes? Of course. Do I sometimes do something stupid? Yes, it happens. I ask you one question. When I do something stupid, do I leave the room and slam the door in my face? No. Do I walk out of the house and say, I don't want to see myself anymore? No. Do I fly into a tirade and say, dummy, idiot, moron? No. Do I go into a long diatribe? I hate myself, I hate myself, I hate myself? No. I would hope that my reaction is, what I did is very wrong. What I did is very stupid, but we're supposed to learn from our mistakes. I still love myself because I know one thing. If I don't love myself, but I don't care enough about myself to correct and to improve, I want to ask one question. If that's the way I treat myself, how dare I treat my wife differently? Why do I have unlimited patience for my mistakes and at best only limited for those of my wife? That's not the Ahasuerus of Kamoko. That's a double standard which is not acceptable. Not in the Midrash that's based on Hava V'Yachsov. I think you get the picture. And what I say about a husband to a wife, the wives can fill in the same towards the husband. It's a two-way street. But it's not gracious for me to speak about the distaff side. I have enough to worry about my side. Now let's speak a little bit concretely, because I made up my mind when I spoke to Rabbi Mendel that I really want to be mesakin a few things the nicer. In our respective Mikdash Ma'at that each one of us has. I don't think that any husband has a right to criticize his wife, and any wife has a right to criticize her husband, unless we first ask two questions and are able to answer each question in the positive, with a yes. The first question, is my husband or is my wife able to change that which irritates me? Is she capable of changing that personality trait of that deficiency? My advice, I'm using my word carefully and advisedly. If the answer is no, I know that my husband or my wife cannot change, and I persist in criticizing, then based on what the Chafetz Chaim said, I'm a shofech dummy, I'm a murderer, because I'm applying torture. When I criticize someone for something he or she cannot change, it's beyond their capability, and I rub it in, then I'm a sadist, I'm cruelly trying to show my superiority, because actually I'm showing my inferiority. That's not the tale of the way. First, I want to give an example. A husband falls in love. He fell in love with his wife. He knew everything about her. She's wonderful. She's sweet. He knew she would be a good wife. He knew she would be a good balabasta. He knew she would be a wonderful mother. He knew all this, and he turned out to be absolutely right. But even as he was getting to know her, he knew one thing. That numbers and arithmetic is not exactly her forte. He knew that. So why is it, since he knows she doesn't exactly have that talent in numbers, why is it that every month when the checkbook doesn't balance, he blows up? That's cruelty. My friends, I give you a practical example. I'll never forget a Talmud of mine. I had been his Masada Kedushin some years earlier. A wonderful fellow. His wife had been a Talmida also, as a matter of fact. And they were really having kailas to talk about one thing. And I think it's instructive how Shalom Bayis was established there. What was the big taina? The husband said that every time they had one of those refrigerators where the ice cube trays was on top in the freezer compartment and the refrigerator was below, and every time you would go through the freezer compartment, they got ice cubes for the cold water or soda, whatever, everything would come tumbling out of the freezer. And he was getting all excited to me that my wife does not attack the freezer, no matter how many times I tell her. And as he was complaining, I could see the veins, you know, sticking out of his neck over here. He was getting all excited. And I looked at her and I said, tell me, the world, is it really true? And she said, yes. And I could see tears forming in her eyes. And I said, so tell me, so why don't you learn how to pack the freezer? And the tears in her eyes, she said, but I tried, and it doesn't work. And I look at him, and he says, yes, it doesn't work. He's tumbling up no matter what. So I said, so what happens then? So he said, there's nothing to it. When it gets impossible, I take everything out, and in 2 minutes past, the whole freezer is packed. So I said to him, but Schleimelik, how could his boss who gave you a gift? You can pack a freezer in 2 minutes, and for that, you become a raider on your wife? I want you to know something. He never had seen it that way before. They have thanked me many times since. All I did was one thing. I made him realize that he wanted something from his wife which was really beyond her, call it visual ability or whatever you want to call it. And for him it was a nothing. On the contrary, now he takes pride that this is his true. I can tell you another one. I had another Talmud, such a wonderful Talmud Chacham, and Mashmid, that there's none like him. Literally, I mean, besides going to Daf Yomi and going to Shiurim B'Iyun, I mean, just a wonderful, wonderful individual. And he finally came with his wife to me, and she agreed to come. At one time, the time was that whenever they have to go someplace, she causes him the terrible avera of Bittelsmann. She's just never on time. Never on time. And I knew one thing, that he meant it forever, because he was a totally sincere individual. I know one thing. After all, I'm married almost 40 years. I know one thing. Husbands don't change when they're mature, and wives don't really change. I wasn't going to make this wife come on time, because if that's the pattern, that's the pattern. I said to him, tell me, I know you have a shir b'iyun, I know you have daf yomi, I know you have a shir in Mishnah Berura, you even have a nachshia once a week. I tell him only one thing. Do you have a shir in Mishnayos? He said, no, but when can I have time? I said, I just found time for you. Because Mishnayos you can learn even in 5 and 10 and 15 minute segments whenever you go. He has thanked me too. And the truth is, I gave just one insight. A situation, instead of being viewed as an irritant, if you view it as a challenge and an opportunity, instead of getting angry, you become grateful for a new challenge to be mastered. But there's a second question to be asked. Before I criticize my husband or my wife, even if the answer is that my husband or my wife is capable of change, we have to ask a second question. At what price? What's the cost? I'm thinking specifically of one husband, but a wife called him into my study. He, gerade, was not my Talmud. But he became very close to me because she had been a Talmud. What was her complaint? She's a very neat fellow Boston. He's very proud of her. But within 2 minutes after he comes home, the living room looked like a cyclone hit him. Everything is all over the place. And she couldn't understand why you just can't take the stuff and hang it up. Take 3 minutes. I spoke to the husband because that's not a big thing. But then I took her aside and I said to her one thing. You are going to have to make one decision. I will give your husband the musa that he should come home and hang up his stuff and be neat. But I want you to make one decision. Whether your husband feels comfortable doing it or he's no longer relaxed after the hard day at work. And whether it's worth it to you or maybe it's better that you do it for 2-3 minutes. I want to tell you that after a month she called me and she said, Rebbe, you were right. It is easier and better for me to do it because he's tense when he has to do it. That's a decision that each of us has to make about our best friend. Because if husbands and wives are included, then they're supposed to be our best friend. And that's what it means to be a best friend, to make the other person truly comfortable. I want to go a step further. What's extremely important in building this mishkan, and I would not have said it if the Netziv didn't say it, and that is communication. Without proper communication, my friends, it is impossible for an ish and an isha to build that mikdash na'at in a way that will help us finally realize that we should be zocher to the Mikdash in Yerushalayim. Today, Ad Hayom Hazeh, do you think in the Mideast, when we're having almost solace from the Arabs, it's an accident? Maybe you just don't think about it. Chazal tell us that for every tear that Yaakov made Esav shed, we still have to pay for every tear, even though he was an Ishtam. And even though he was Mekayeh in the mitzvah of Kiburin, because it wasn't done of P. Yashonis. And what was the tragedy there? That the whole thing could have been avoided. I'd like to illustrate it to you. What did Rivka do? She dressed up Yaakov Avinu, they should feel like Esau, because he wanted Yitzchak to give the bracha to Yaakov. What was she afraid of? She was afraid of one thing, that Yitzchak was getting old, and she thought he was being fooled, and that he was going to give the bracha to the wrong one. And therefore, she was going to preempt it. And she was going to dress up Yaakov like Esau, and therefore Yaakov was going to get the bracha. First of all, what good would that do? The brachas are given at Kodesh Baruch Hu. As Yababanel says, when we give a bracha, it's only Tfilat at Kodesh Baruch Hu that we give the bracha, that he should give the bracha. And besides, we don't understand. Why didn't Rivka speak to Yitzchak? Rachel Bitchatana, you don't see what's going on. I think you're giving the bracha to the wrong son. So now let me read to you in a seed, in the Hanukkah. The very first time that Rivka saw Yitzchak, Vatisha Rivka Seneha, Vatiresh Yitzchak, Vatipar Me'aragomar, she fell off the camel. And then the Chumash reports, Vatika Chatzoi Vatiskos. She took the veil and she covered herself. Ask the Tziv, why do we have to know that she covered herself with a veil? Why is it important? There is no extra word in the Torah Hashem. Answers the Tziv, and I want to read it to you. The Tziv says as follows, Vatika Chatzoi Vatiskos. Meroim Pachad Busha. She was filled with intimidation, with shame. Kemosha medina sheina ruya, she's not really worthy. Umeoz v'holo, nikba d'libba pechad. And from then on, look at the tragedy, for the rest of her married life to Yitzchak. She was filled with pechad, with fear and intimidation. Says in a team, V'lohoysa in Yitzchak k'mostara in Abraham. Her relationship with Yitzchak was not the same as that of Sarah with Abraham, the Rachel in Yaakov, and as Rachel had with Yaakov. And he spells it out, Asher b'yos b'hen meizek epeido aleyen, that they had something that bothered them. Lo'y b'yishu l'dabe reses with mehen. They were not intimidated. They were not ashamed. They cleared the air. Mashi Ein claimed the Rivka, which was not the case of the Rivka. Now I want to show you the tragedy. The tragedy of lack of communication. When Rivka was pregnant, you remember the pasuk? Vayomer Hashem. She went to consult, remember Shein Be'eder? And what was she told? She was told, Shnei Goyim Levitnei. And finally, the Rav Yavod Tzair. According to most, it means what? The older one is going to serve the younger one. I ask you, my Rabbi Rabbi, if Rivka would have told Yitzchak, this was the Rabuah that I got, then the younger one is going to take over. Would she have had to worry that her husband would give the bracha to the wrong son? Of course not. She never told him. First tragedy. What was the second tragedy? My Rabbi Rabbi Sai. We don't read the Chumash sensitively enough. There are three brachas in this Sedra. Three different brachas. The first bracha is the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov thinking he was Esau. The second bracha is the one he gave to Esau when he knew it was Esau. And at the end of the Sedra, when Yaakov leaves home, he gives a bracha to Yaakov, knowing it's Yaakov. I want you to listen for a moment, and you'll see the full cycle of the tragedy of lack of communication. The first bracha, what was it? V'yitzen l'chohor l'okim mitala shamayim, nishmane horez, v'roi zogan v'sihoish, a completely materialistic bracha. Do. Do. Taxes of the earth. One. Yadu Chamin, Yishtachavu L'Chaumin, Yishtachavu L'Achecho. Any mention here, I want you to get the blessing of my father, Birkas Avraham? No. Any blessing here, I want you to be a multitude of nations? No. Any blessing here, I want you to get the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised my father? No. Nothing. Any mention here of Tel Shakai? No. So the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov, thinking it was Esav, was never the spiritual bracha. Never. But Rivka didn't know it. When Esav comes, and Esav screams, "Habrocha acha, don't you have something for me, Dad? Don't you have something for me, too?" Now he knows it's Esav. And what is it now? It's almost a mirror image. Mishmane horet, mitala shamayim, al-chabachos yishye. Same thing, basically. Not the spiritual bracha. Yeah. Yeah. Pele. In the end, what does it say? In the end, what it says, when Yaakov is about to leave, listen to the difference in Lashon. The Kel Shakai Yavarech Oscha. For the first time, Yitzchak mentions Kel Shakai. And what does he mention? The words that were mentioned of Rav Avinu. What are they? The Yatzacha V'Yadecha. Here it is. That was never mentioned before. Let's go further. The Yitzchak Machoes Birkas Avraham. That was not mentioned before, neither time. And what else? Lachol Lazaracho Yitzchak. Making it forever and ever. Lerishkacho Es Eretz Mugurecho. Asher Nosan Elohim L'Avraham. And this is what it achieved in the HaMikdavah. And there's a special Hebrew based around. When you read the bracha, says the Nativ, you realize how this whole thing occurred. And by the way, that's why in the Hakdama we have another interesting thing. He says the reason that Bereshis is called Sefer HaYashar, why? He's Gemaldi Gemaldi. She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seveh of Tzaddikim. If they do not go the Derech HaYosha, Afilu L'Shem Shamayim. These are the words of the Tzivim Dabdoba. Read them. As they say, black and white. And therefore, what we have to know is open communication. Like, for example, it was Sarah who told, for example, her husband, Goresh, get rid of Yishmael, he cannot be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded, Shema B'Kola, if you remember. That's the kind of thing. But I want to go a step further. This kind of Ahava is based also on Halacha. And the Halacha is a very interesting Halacha. I don't want to go over time this year, so time is, but there are a few more things I want to say. The halakha is that every Jewish husband has a year of basic training how to learn to relate to a wife. And that particular halakha, as you know, is the mitzvah, Keyika Ish Isha Chadosha, the Simach Es Ishto Ashelokha. And the translation is, he shall make his wife that he took happy. Now, I have a few points to make here. Rashi Yaakovish says over here, what is the meaning of the Simach Es Ishto? And he says, Kitagumai, the Yachte Yachitze. You shall make your wife happy. Yachte Yachitze. Or possibly Yachade. And Rashi says it cannot be the Yachte Imitze to be happy with a wife. Because if that were it, Eine Elokitoya. Because that would be the Targum of the Samach and not what? The Sea. You shall be happy with your wife and not make your wife happy. Another problem. You look in the Sefer HaChinuch, depending how you count the mitzvahs, Tov Kuf Mem Tes, another counting, the two different ways of counting in the Sefer HaChinuch. And he says specifically, Shenitztavino mitzvah, Sheyitzmach Hechoson Imishkai. He does not say Sheyitzameach Hechoson Eshishkai. He does not say the mitzvah is to make your wife happy, but to be happy. How do we reconcile the two? And may I have Rabbi Sai, this is a tall order, and again I'm going to speak primarily to myself, because no matter how long we're married, we can always use momoser. There's no such thing ever as reaching the highest madrega. We're always striving. Always striving. And you know, of course, that this is typical of the Jew. It was already, as a matter of fact, the Malama Bahayil who points out that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself as a Kadosh, it's spelled Molei, because only he reaches Kedusha to perfection. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to be Kedoshim, it's always spelled Choser, because we are striving. We are never reaching the ultimate. The Chinuch gives a threefold prescription for a husband to learn how to relate to a wife. I will give it to you, the key phrases. Nahargil hateva imoch. In order to build this mikdash, a husband has to accommodate his nature to that of his wife. Secondly, lahadbik harotzayin etzloh, to make my will synchronize with her. And finally, and this is the hardest, lahaknis tiyuro v'chol pa'ala b'lein, to bring into my heart her very essence, what she's all about, so that I can basically do what she wants before she asks for it. And if I do that, mind you, you know how the Chinuch then ends? He then ends, l'samcha. Then he will make her happy. And then I tumbled. This is what the Targum Yonos and Ben Uziel has. And there is no machlokes. And here's what it is. The world today makes a basic mistake. We are looking to be happy, and that's why most of us are not happy. The Jewish insight is, you look to make happy. That's how I started. The days of bracha, reach out, care and share. If you look to make happy, you can be happy. If it's yachte yachitze, it'll be yachte ibis. But the dogish has to be the prescription of the Chinuch. And it seems to me, my friends, time is almost running out. I don't want to go to the last minute. That we also have to look at the words for love in Lashon Kodesh. One word we have, which is very difficult, chibo. What does chibo really mean? I once heard from my Rebbe, the Chaim Heller Zatzal, that possibly it's related to chayva. And how true that is, especially in the modern world. You know what it is? There is no such thing as free love. Chiva means chayva, responsibility, achrayas. I pay for it by earning it, by doing, by caring. Those who want chiba without chayba miss the whole point. The other word for love is ahava. And there's a very beautiful word from the Shamshna Tol Hirsch. Well known, but only half as well known. They all know that he traces it to have, which comes from giving. But the essence of love is to give and not to take. What is usually not well known is a beautiful insight he has. That in Lashon Kodesh, the Kodesh Baruch Hu constructed it, when you have a triliteral root of three basic letters, and the first letter is an Aleph, very often that Aleph is like a reflexive. For example, on Mar, which we translate as to stay, the basic root is like Mur, to Murah, change, and on Mar means I change myself by speaking to you what I think. Says Rav Shimshon Pol Hirsch, what's true love? Not when I give you a present. Not when I give you an hour of my time, no. When I give you of myself. And that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We'll have to the Shemel of Kecho B'chol Adachol HaKom Adecho. My whole essence, my own being, everything is to Him. The Zeir Anpin. That's in the Mikdash Ma'at. And that's why Chazal felt that the Mikdash Me'at, that bias that we have, is good basic training to learn how to build the real Mikdash. I'd like to end with a word that's attributed to Rav Chaim Goin. I'm not sure it's from him. It's attributed. I have my doubts. They say in his name, because the passage I'm not sure is really under his authorship. So one of the triggers there. That it starts with an aleph, which is one. And it ends with a beis, which is two. But you can only go from one to two. If the hey, Hashem, is center stage. Whether he said it or not, the truth is there. Because without the bracha of Hashem, we ourselves are really nothing. On the one hand, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. On the other hand, Omechi Otto Ve'efer. We need Siyata D'Shmaya for everything. I'd like to conclude with one final thought. And it ties in with what I started with. You know, if you take the word Echad, Aleph Ches Dalet, it's 13. Gematria. If you take the word Ahava, Aleph Hei Veiz Hei, it's also 13. If I am for myself on this earth, and I don't think about Kodesh Baruch Hu at all, then Chagomist. Because sometimes the Chatzi Dover is nothing. But if I relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He surely is waiting, Yeshua Hashem B'Yimotzai, He is more eager for us to reach out to Him than we even realize. And He reciprocates with His love, so that there's a hava on His part and a hava on our part. And lahavdil, there aren't him. A husband to a wife, and a wife to a husband. A hava and a hava. You have 13 and 13. That is 26. That's the Shem Havaya. And that's what Shechina is all about.